Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 70 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined as always by Leonard. How you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing pretty good. Today I am, because we're talking about comic books, focusing on the show. It's been a pretty crappy last couple days.
Yep.
But it's a pleasure to talk to you, Todd, and of course to have our conversation eavesdropped in by all of our listeners.
Well, I enjoy you enjoying talking to me, so that's what it's all about. We'll breathe in the good air and let out the bad.
Yes. I'd mentioned last week that the baby was sick, and so was my wife. We had just gotten in from Florida for our long trip, and I thought I dodged a bullet, but I did not. My entire weekend was shot due to me being sick.
What, you weren't Neo in the Matrix when it came to this?
No.
No? Oh, well. Maybe
you're
next
lucky
time.
I get that reference. You're very lucky I get that reference.
What, you never saw the Matrix movies?
I saw half of the first one.
Wow.
You know the scene? I went to see it in the theaters, right?
Right.
This is... And I like on our podcast when we get like so local that unless you're from the Scranton area from a specific time, you're not going to get what we're talking about.
Right.
All right. So me and Dwight, no, I'm kidding, because that's the Scranton reference that some other people might get.
Right, right.
When the old General Cinemas still existed outside the Viewmont Mall.
Right. Right all next right. to Aladdin's Castle.
No, Aladdin's Castle was way gone by that.
Right, I'm just throwing really specific mentions, but I know what you're talking about.
So we go to see the Matrix opening weekend, and the scene where Neo is downloaded into the Matrix, him and Lawrence Fishburne do a whole bunch of their karate stuff, right?
Kung Fu. He knows Kung Fu, yeah. I know the scene.
And we go back to the scene of Keanu Reeves, and he opens his eyes and says, "Whoa, I know Kung Fu." I turned to my friends and I said, "Hey guys, I'll catch you later. I'm going to be outside."
That's a great line and moment in the movie.
That's a horrible line. I was like, I can't take this movie serious if they're expecting me to be like this weird, like biblical parable, like how he's the savior and all this other nonsense. And here he is delivering like, "Whoa, I know Kung Fu" lines. Mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves is good in three movies that I can think of off the top of my head. The two Bill and Ted movies and The Gift. Other than that, he's pretty much terrible in everything.
Not even Speed? You don't even like Speed?
No, he's terrible in Speed.
You know where I think he really shines? Dracula. He does not stand out in Dracula at all. It's just period piece. That's really where you want Keanu Reeves.
So I went out in the lobby and I played the Cowboys of the Moo Mesa arcade game, which was just the same engine as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game that they would like repurpose into like every other franchise.
Yes, yes, I know the one you're talking about.
So when my friends came out, I didn't even bother asking them how they thought the movie was. I'm just like, that line just destroyed the movie for me.
Well,
very controversial statement.
It is. Well, we won't dwell on the Matrix too much. We'll
no.
get ready to talk about comics. There was some comic news this week. We got comic characters on the stage, more movie casting news, and digital comics, more digital comics that I want to get. So that's saying they're doing digital comics right.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all of those things, the digital comic thing especially. And we haven't really talked a ton about, like, the movie stuff going on.
Right, right.
But this one I brought up just because this one's a little close to my vest, if you will.
Yes, it is. We'll get to it in a bit. And we're going to talk about what we read last week. I think we sync up just about on everything.
You would mention to me you wanted to talk about some of the stuff. And a decision is to be made on a book, I guess.
Yes.
Yes, something will be dumped from my list.
Wow. Wow. Yes. When it goes, is there a big ceremony?
No, no. There is about 9 lists I have to update, but so it's a big ceremony for me.
Okay. Pomp and circumstance. But and we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to this week. We also have Sketch Party once again sweeping the nation. I'll give a little story about my sketch. And with our Twitter question is the Marvel 700 free #1 digital comics. How were you affected by it? And also, I stumbled.
That's all right, Todd. We can just keep going on.
That's what we'll do. And the Twitter question for this week.
Right. And of course, you know, everything else that's going to come up in between there and now, and also at the very, very end of the show to give everyone some ample time to check out. We are going to talk about the AMC Walking Dead TV show, and I may even throw in, at the very, very end, a spoiler about the end of Young Justice, the cartoon that I just finished watching.
Oh, Young Justice, is that the... Did they cancel that?
Yes, this past weekend were the last episodes of both Young Justice and the Green Lantern animated series.
Ah, it's the DC, the comic Cartoon Network DC block is over now, I guess.
Right, I think it's taken like a 2 month or a month hiatus or whatever it is, and then come April is when the new Teen Titans Go is coming back, kind of with a different animation style, and I think the new Batman cartoon starts then. I'm not 100% sure though.
Yeah. I don't even know what the title of that is.
Yes. It's not I think it's Beware the Batman.
Hmm. You know what? That rings a bell. Yes, it does.
So I want to just say this about the previous Batman show that was on, because I've been watching it a lot lately, the Batman Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
That is the baby's favorite thing in the entire world now. As babies are wont to do, they're very fickle on things.
Mm-hmm.
The opening credits is mostly just Batman running through all the different names of the characters that appear on the show. And then he climbs up the side of them like a building, then he drives the Batmobile through them and he swings. But a lot of it is him running.
Right.
So the baby just likes watching that over and over again while he points at the TV and yells, "Batman, running."
Hey, whatever works for you.
All day. And it's fantastic.
It never gets old.
No, I enjoy it because, right. You know, he gets very excited. This week is Batman. Last week was the Hulk. You know, the Hulk is still near and dear to his heart, but this week he discovered that Batman is running.
That's what I was going to ask you, if he still does the Hulk thing.
But oh, yes.
Good. As long as, you know, he's just getting more diverse. That's really cool.
So where do you want to start with the news?
Let's start with the comic characters on stage.
Yes, as we saw last year that the Batman live show had gone on tour. It was mostly in like the far west, like the a lot of the like Colorados and further out to California. I don't think it got anywhere near us.
No, I didn't see it come, you know, any shows near us. But
so based on the alleged success of that, Marvel is partnering up with Ringling Brothers. Who also do Disney on Ice. And I learned that you have to say, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, greatest show on earth. When you go to clown college, they teach you that you just can't say the circus or the Ringling show. Anytime that you're referencing it, you have to say the entire title.
You have to do it all, or they come to your door?
Well, again, then you're not a professional clown or performer in the circus or Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, greatest show on earth.
Ah, okay. We wouldn't want to anger them either because
no.
Because they show up in one car and you don't know how many there are.
That's right. We have a very large clown listenership.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. So Marvel is partnering up with them to do a stage show as well. No date has been announced, but they have announced that the project looks to cost approximately $10 million.
Oof, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money indeed, yes.
But I think that's really cool because I read that not only because of the whole movie rights, you know, Fox has some and, you know, a Marvel movie company has the others. With this, because it doesn't fall under any of that, they can have any character that they want. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. As I was reading one of the articles, so you could have the X-Men with Spider-Man and, you know, Avengers and all of them and just put in whoever you want. And I think that's absolutely, like, really cool because I'll probably end up seeing this at some point.
But, well, you know, they just made the announcement last week. Who knows when it's actually going to happen? So
days.
I would certainly hope that it comes nearby us.
Yeah, probably at the big arena down at the casino. We'll go drop some, you know, coinage on the blackjack and then go see with the baby and see the Marvel show.
I'll say this. If they would be foolish not to kind of mirror what's going on with the current movies,
mm-hmm.
to have it be like very Avengers themed.
Right, And then, like you said, well, by then, you know, you're going to have your X-Men movies out and stuff like that. And who knows, the Fantastic Four movie, you know, might be out, like, or being pushed out. So, like I said, with all the characters, you could mix and match and do whatever you want and mix up the show. It'd be fantastic.
Yes, that would be pretty awesome. I'm very sad that the Batman one didn't come around here, because even without the baby, I probably would have wanted to go see that one by myself.
Yeah, well, we said if you go, I'm in with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, you know, we'll save on gas that way.
Yes, indeed.
But what about Marvel casting news?
Yeah, as I had mentioned, you brought this up. We haven't really talked about much of the movie stuff or the TV stuff, really, just because we're trying to focus more so on the comics, actually, like the actual, you know, physical or digital stuff, you know, let some of the other shows on the Grizz Network kind of get into the TV and movie side of things. But I wanted to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, one, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, and I like me some Guardians of the Galaxy. And Drax has been cast as a former WWE superstar and local wrestler as well in Dave Bautista.
Is he got any relation to Chris Bautista?
No, but our friend DJ and I, we always say that whenever Chris Bautista is on something, we always say the animal Chris Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bautista was the animal Bautista. In his wrestling days.
Gotcha. Because I get confused on all the wrestling names. Some of them, they use the same names, and, you know, because I'm so up on wrestling.
Right. Unless their names are Rodney or Pete Gass or Joey Abs, you want nothing to do with them.
Right. Maybe Roddy Piper. I know him. But
so, yeah, Batista's a big jacked-up dude. He's been in a lot of movies lately. I don't think he's wrestled in about 3 or 4 years. He is one of the few people that are actually cast so far. We had mentioned a couple episodes back when Chris Pratt of Parks and Recreation was cast. I know from following him on the Twitter machine that James Gunn is in England. I think they're doing location stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have actually started filming yet, obviously, since they only have two of two actors cast officially. But, you know, it's not like they need to have a physical actor cast for Rocket Raccoon or Groot, since they're probably just going to be giant CGI monstrosities.
Right. We have Gamora left, and that's it. But, and we don't know who the villain will be yet. But do you know if Batista's ever acted before, or is this the first thing that you know of?
No, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Okay.
He was most recently in, oh, goodness, and I feel like a fool that I don't know the name of it. There was that karate movie that come out recently. The Iron Fist Way, maybe it was called.
Oh, Way of the Iron Fist, I think. I know the one you're talking about.
Way of the Iron Fist. He was most recently in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he acted. I thought this was, like, his first big role.
No. Like, and I think a few other things. The Man with the Iron Fist is the actual name of the thing. And he's like a little TV things there, you know, obviously all the things that you get like an association with being in WWE. But he was also in one of the direct-to-DVD Scorpion King sequels.
There were Scorpion King sequels?
There certainly was.
Oh, I'm going to have to check my on-demand for those now. I didn't know. I want to know how that story ended.
Well, being that they spun out of the Mummy and then spun off into their own series of sequels themselves, so they must be successful.
They have to be. They have to be good, too, because there's many of them. That's the rule. But
And just so you know, the one that we're speaking of is on the Netflix instant queue, so if you did want to watch that.
Yeah, so I can get an idea of his acting skills, his thespian abilities, if you will.
It also, and again, to further entice you, it also stars Billy Zane and Ron Perlman, so
Billy Zane was one of my favorite actors of all time. He was both in Titanic and Phantom. So that's the complete spectrum of what you want to be in.
Well, it has many good reviews, and of course by that I'm lying.
What? A Scorpion King sequel would have bad reviews? I don't believe it. I'll have to check for myself later.
So, yeah, wrestling and comic books crossover in the movie world for me. Yay. I'm excited for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. We're less than 2 months away from Iron Man, and I am going to make a concerted effort to see Iron Man 3 opening weekend. It probably won't be the Friday or Saturday. It'll more than likely be the Sunday. But we will talk about Iron Man 3. And I've been doing good avoiding everything about it so far. I already know too much information.
Me too. On Iron Man 3, I've pretty much seen maybe the first trailer. I haven't seen the newest one. I know there's a new one out, and I've totally avoided it. So I'm doing pretty good.
So the last thing that you wanted to mention there up front in the news was the Brian K. Vaughan, Marcos Martin digital book.
Yes.
A tease had come out about it earlier in the week, and I thought, oh, well, this is a nice tease for something that'll be coming eventually. Little did I know that eventually would mean the next day.
Hours.
Hours later. So it's the first issue of a 10-issue series that they're doing called The Private Eye. Through their own direct distributor called Panel Syndicate. And the interesting thing about it is, obviously, no Comixology, no iTunes, no nothing like that. All the money goes directly to them. But the issue there is they have it set up as a pay whatever you want for it. If you want it for free, it's available for free. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the whole thing for the next 10 issue or for the next 9 issues.
Mm-hmm.
You could pay a penny, you could pay a buck, you could pay $3, you know, whatever it is. And I didn't get a chance to read it yet just because super secret science got in the way, but this is one of the things that I am most looking forward to reading this week, and it was almost the thing I was most looking forward to reading this week.
Ah. I didn't get a chance to look into it at all. I saw it today. So to go get it or get a chance to read it or do any of that, but it really has me interested and I'm going to have to look into it because, you know, Brian K. Vaughan, I think, you know, we've talked about it plenty on here. I'll follow him anywhere. So him doing a digital comics and the idea of whatever pay as you go, whatever you want, just blows me away. And it makes me wonder what most people are paying. Would you mind if I asked you what you paid for?
Yes, especially since I pay, you know, we pay $3.99 for a lot of Marvel books that are both the digital and the print version.
Mm-hmm.
The average cost that I pay for a book is $2.99. I paid $2.99 for it.
That seems fair. That's what I was thinking if I was going to do it, because his saga is $2.99. Mm-hmm. And that just seems like a good price point to do it and promote it. So that would probably be what I would pay too when I get it.
And what made me decide to pay the, you know, quote unquote, what many would consider the full price, if you will, is because you can download it as a PDF, which means, you know, it doesn't exist in the ether like how Comixology does or, you know, iTunes stuff does,
mm-hmm.
where you get your PDF and you could take that with you wherever you go. You could save it. It's yours forever.
Right. But it makes me wonder how easy it'll be to pirate then, you know, like because people get it and then you just put it up, bam, as a PDF and off they go.
Well, I do. You know, well, when you're essentially charging nothing for something.
That is true.
Yeah. You know, I have friends of mine they'll do podcasts or they'll do a wrestling event that they're charging nothing for in the first place. And they'll go ahead and accidentally, wink, wink, leak it out there on those pirate sites. Mm-hmm. Just because that's where people think you get comic books from, or that's where people think you get podcasts from, or that's where people think you get wrestling events from.
Mm, true. Never thought of it that way.
Right. There's, you know, as sad as it is, there's such a large segment of the audience that don't go to a comic book shop. They don't go to Comixology. You know, they go to those pirate sites to get their books.
Right, right.
And I don't condone that, but it's a horrible fact.
Yes, it is. I wonder, like, how many people would, you know, with these piracy sites, would still read if, like, there was no way to do it. Like, you know how they try to argue the numbers? Because I think, you know, if it wasn't free, they wouldn't read at all. Like, these people who say, oh, like, we're missing out on all this money. I think, like, 90% of them just wouldn't do it, wouldn't pick up stuff if there was no piracy. What do you think?
That's interesting. I know that there's people that I've personally spoke to in my own life that have told me that they read more things, you know, they still buy books, whether it be digitally or in print, but then there's stuff that they want to take a risk on or stuff that's out of print that, you know, they feel that they're forced to go check those things out because, you know, the whether it be Marvel or DC, you know, mostly just don't put a book back into print, mostly DC or Marvel. I, you know, well, then again, like Marvel, just recently announced that they're putting some of their omnibuses back into print, because if you try to get some of those original omnibuses they put out, specifically like the Amazing Spider-Man 1 or the Uncanny X-Men 1, like the Claremont era, those currently go for like $400-$500 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know people that are like, yeah, I want to read those, but I'm not paying that much.
True.
You know, I don't want to get the black and white things. And, you know, it exists because they sell those CD-ROMs that have everything on them as well.
True.
And that's just very easy to pirate as well. You know, somebody bought a copy of it, and I'm not going to give a tutorial on how to do it. You could figure out how to make a copy of a CD or a DVD yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm going with this is...
Sorry.
No. When they officially announced this earlier today, apparently it like crashed their site and possibly even crashed PayPal. There was such a rush for people to go and pick this up today.
Mm-hmm.
So if PayPal was having issues, that means that people were actually paying for it, which is awesome.
Right, because if any of this would have happened, now their own site, like you said, but you know, that's money has to be changing hands for that to happen. So
yes.
I wish them the best. You know, good luck with that. Because I think this is a brilliant idea to try new and different things and get people interested in digital. And since, like I said, I'm an old hat at this stuff, and I love my paper stuff, and I never wanted to go digital. But more and more, just you know, the big creators are bringing me in. So
and that's how it needs to be, and especially when it's a big creator who's doing, you know, something like this independently, by supporting this means you're going to get more of them in the future.
Right. And more goes to them by them doing it themselves.
Right. And I'm more than happy to do that, you know, especially like this past weekend. There was a sale on the Rocketeer stuff that IDW put out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I picked up the hardcover that's coming out just because it's Mark Waid and Chris Samnee doing it. But then when I looked at what the price of those single issues were, and then they were saying it's 50% off, but when those single issues were out, they were $4 a pop,
mm-hmm.
and then they were on sale for 99 cents each, and even though I have the hardcover, I still bought them digitally this weekend.
Ooh, double dipped.
I don't like to live in an age where I double dip, but to get a hardcover that I just paid $20 for four issues that had originally retailed for $4 a pop, and for the price of one of those issues, I got all four digitally. I couldn't pass it up. It was just too good of a deal for me not to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Totally, totally.
But so where I'm going with this is digital comics are making me spend more money.
Ah, see, digital comics are thinking about getting me to spend more money. So, but I've always been one step behind you on technology. So.
So, speaking of digital comics, usually I would save them just for a moment or two later, but there's a sale going on right now digitally with Jonathan Hickman's early stuff. There was a collection through Image that was put out of a lot of the stuff that he had done there, whether it be graphic novels or miniseries. They're all available. You can either get them together as five for a very low price, or if you want to get them individually, they're all there. I hear they're all very good. I personally have never read them. You know, Nightly News, Pax Romana, Red Mass for Mars, Red Wing, and Transhuman. If you like Jonathan Hickman, check this stuff out. It's tons of Jonathan Hickman at a very low price.
Yes. I've only really ever read most of, like, Hickman's Marvel stuff. I'd like to try some of the Image stuff that I've never had a chance to. So maybe this is my opportunity.
This is more of your digital opportunity.
Yes.
And Marvel is dipping their toe back in. They do have some freebie books up this week. They have Avengers Assemble number 1 up as a freebie, which was the beginning of the return of Thanos into the Marvel Universe, kind of tying things into the movie continuity, if you will, at least a movie-looking team. And also Gravity number 1 by Sean McKeever with art by Mike Norton. That is up as a freebie this week as well. That is really good. That's a miniseries. And that's Gravity is a character who I sadly miss from the Marvel Universe. He was one of the few newer characters that were created, and you don't see him pop up really anywhere.
Right. I don't remember. The last time I saw him was Marvel Team-Up. That's mm-hmm. where I remember him from. He was in the Avengers for a little bit, wasn't he, or no?
Avengers Initiative, yeah.
Avengers Initiative. But yeah, I only read him from that, so I don't really know much about the character.
Right. It's a really good story. I recommend checking out that first issue for free at the very least. See what you think.
Yeah. That's the news, right? I could say that doing this had been a piece of cake, Leonard.
You know, I was going to compliment you earlier on how good your segue was before. especially now I have to point it out since this one was so good as well.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm living up to your standards.
Yes. So as we are deep within National Cake Month here, the month of March is Cake Month. No better way to celebrate that is than by going to our great sponsor, Bake Me a Wish, which is bakemeawish.com. And you can get a cake delivered to you, UPS. You could order it months and months in advance, days in advance, weeks in advance, even. I think the quickest they can get it there for you is 2 days. And that's pretty good to get a cake delivered to you.
That is record time.
Yes. And like I mentioned before, the folks that we stayed with down in Florida, they were very happy with the cake, you know, even though I ate a good piece of it. And Bake Me a Wish was very good. They were on top of us. They let us know when it was delivered. You know, as soon as it was taken care of, they're not right on top of you about that. But they did, like, say, hey, did you want to order another cake? Here's a coupon for another cake. Here's more information. Don't forget about us. And we're here to remind you, don't forget about Bake Me a Wish, one of the great sponsors here for the Weekly Long Box and many of the other Grizz production shows.
Yep, very user-friendly.
Yes. So getting the news out of the way, I also wanted to mention that it is Con Crazy. We're deep within con season as well, and this is the first time that it is going to happen this year, but not the last time, that there are two comic book conventions this weekend.
Ooh, competing. You want to find out who's going to what, who they like
yes.
better.
One is a, you know, it's the first of the Wizard ones. Actually, the second of the Wizard ones. They had one a couple weeks ago out on the West Coast. This is St. Louis Comic Book Convention. And, you know, it's the usual, the list of superstars that always appear at the Wizard conventions. Neil Adams is going to be there, which is a big name that jumps out. Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt, the team behind The Sixth Gun, which is currently being casted for pilot season. And a host of other creators are going to be at that one as well. Stan Lee is making an appearance. But again, that's what we come to know and love from all of our Wizard conventions. Let me see who they have as their, like,
their big draw?
Yeah, who their big draws are.
Is it Raven?
No. You know what? And that's Wizard actually has a deal set up with WWE. So they always have like one or two big name WWE people at their shows when they have them. This one is Randy Orton, who is a St. Louis native. I know the Philly one coming up at the beginning of May or the beginning of June, rather, is both John Cena and Daniel Bryan. And John Cena, I think you know who John Cena is.
Yeah, he's the rap guy, isn't he?
Right.
Yes.
The rap guy.
Didn't he have the spinny belt?
the belt so hot that it would make the snow melt? Yes.
Yes, is that the official term for it?
No, that's from the Krispy Kreme Froggy Fresh song about his Christmas list, how he wanted all John Cena things.
Ah, that was a good thing to put on your list, all John Cena.
Yes.
But yeah, I remember him from the belt, and he's the one who does he's smelling something, so he rubs his hand in front of his face to blow it away.
You're just doing this to antagonize me now, I think.
I don't know. I'm telling you what I know, and it's something with something smelly, and he's doing that. That's all I know.
You can't see me. He's.
Oh, is that what that is?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So as I'm looking at the list, and we'll get into the other con here in just a second, I did just want to mention that one of the people that are going to be at the St. Louis Wizard World Convention this weekend is actress Laurie Holden.
Ooh.
And you might know Laurie Holden as Andrea from The Walking Dead.
Yes, that's where I know her from.
And she might come up later in the show.
Maybe when we talk a little bit about The Walking Dead.
Maybe. The other convention going on is in the Ohio area. It's at Wright State University, the Nutter Center in Ohio. It's Gem City Comic Con. And they've got, I like this, it's not so much as a smaller one because they got a ton of names, but it's always the names that you never expect to see. They have Howard Chaykin is going to be there. Stan Sakai is going to be there. Dan Parent, who's a big wig at Archie Comics,
mm-hmm.
and William Messner Loebs are the big guests that are going to be there.
Interesting. Interesting. I always wanted to meet Chaykin, and I never did.
Mm.
I was always a big fan of his.
And that's the thing, is he never really appears at the bigger conventions. It's one of these smaller conventions where they kind of give him the run of the place.
Mm-hmm. Big fish in a small pond.
Yes, and there's a ton of other creators that are going to be there. I know a webcomic guy, Rusty Shackles, is going to be there. I'm a big fan of his work. Kyle Hotz, who you might remember from the Hood miniseries many, many years ago at Marvel, written by Brian K. Vaughan. Many other folks there. If you just, I think we'll include these guys in the notes as well. If you're in the Ohio area, go check that con out. If you're in the St. Louis area, go check out the Wizard World convention. And we're what, like 2.5 weeks away from our convention we're going to in Reading.
Yes, I can't wait.
Yes, the Comic Book Super Show in Reading, Pennsylvania. I'm excited about that as well because we're making a road trip of it. It's going to be a busy, busy weekend for me, but I gotta get in as much as I can.
Maybe I'll get to see that John Cena at the WrestleManias that night.
Oh, goodness. He is in the main event.
Is he? Who's he? Who's he wrestling?
The Rock.
Okay, I've heard of him.
Yes, it's a once-in-a-lifetime match for the second time.
Wow, that's so good. So good they did it twice. That's why they do it.
Exactly.
At least The Undertaker's undefeated. I know that. That's another thing I know.
Still,
but we'll see.
I'm not even going to tell you who he's wrestling at WrestleMania because I want to get off the wrestling stuff and get into the books that we read from last week.
Okay.
Because if I mention who it is, it's just going to send you down a road.
I actually know who it is, so I'll let it go.
So where would you like to start with the books from last week?
I would like to start with the saddest book of them all from last week, Batman and Robin.
Oh, Batman and Robin 18, yes. This one by art by Pat Gleason, written by Peter Tomasi. Another issue in a row. The last one, which was the fallout from all the Joker stuff, was a silent issue, if I remember. It was all their dreams, correct?
Right, yes.
This one was a very this was another silent issue, and it was a very powerful issue, I thought. I have to give you credit, like I do many, many a times. I was most looking forward to Batman number 18, and yes, Batman 18 was good. And you said, don't overlook Batman and Robin 18. Of course I did not, because it's, you know, Batman book. And this was a really, really good issue.
Yes, I talk about it at the shop all the time, how, you know, in the giant Batman scheme of thing, Tomasi almost gets lost sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was reading this, it was once again like, you know what, as you know, I wasn't a Damian fan as I'm reading this. I'm never going to see Damian again, and it made me misty. And some of the things that he did, like one of my favorite things is when Batman's driving the Batmobile, and he just looks over for a second, and he sees Damian there, and then he's not there. And it's just weird little stuff like that that is just so touching and beautiful about this book. And, you know, a silent book, it doesn't take you long to read, because there's only I think there's like a note in there that you read is the only words. But all in all, it was like, I want Damian back, and I want him now, because this is horrible and it makes me sad, and comics shouldn't make me sad.
No, I do like when comics do deliver a lot of emotion, and I'm glad that all of you Damian haters are finally on board, and it just unfortunately took them killing him for everyone to get on board.
Actually, I was on board with the annual. I knew I was over when the annual happened. It was all downhill from there. But
yeah, so there's not really much else to say at this point about that issue. As mentioned, it was a silent issue. Nothing was really said. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of the Requiem stuff, at least for another month or so, before the new storylines all start in the individual Bat books. And I was thinking about this today, actually, with the Snyder-Capullo Bat book doing the prequel, if you will, the Batman Zero Year.
Right.
For the next year, starting this June. That being, you know, technically the flagship book, it is the highest-selling Batman book of them all, you know, it's going to leave all the other books to kind of carry all the stories of everything going on.
Right, because by then, like during that, we'll have Superman, Batman, and Batman and Robin, which they're going to... Are they keeping the title? Because I know that it's going to be like a team-up book from here on out with the Batman family.
Yeah, it's essentially a Batman family book. And right. I think over the next 6 months, every month it's going to be Batman. The title is going to be different. They're going to keep the same numbering. But it's going to be Batman and someone else for right. the next 6 months at least.
Whoever. So, like you said, this is going to be the only place to get them in the current, you know, continuity and, like, a Superman, Batman. So, that's going to be interesting. Maybe he'll get a
chance
to shine.
Well, it's not going
to
be the only place. There's, like, 19 Batman books. But it's just odd that the flagship book is going to not be the one kind of leading the charge of the main storyline where, you know, everything kind of fell in line with that with Court of Owls. And everything kind of fell in line with that with Death of the Family, and now come this June for the next year, it's more or less, we're going to, you know, the main book's doing its own thing, and you guys are all going to do your own thing as well, separately.
Okay, I see what you meant. I thought you just meant Batman appearances, but it's going to be all the, like, the Bat Family books hooking up with Batman and Robin. Got you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where they're going to hook up. It just struck me as odd today that the main book is going to be so far removed from everything that's going on in all the other books for a year.
11 issues, I think. And like you said, the prequel, the 2 issues. So that's quite a while. Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
Right. Sorry for being confusing.
No, it's me. It's me. I get confused sometimes easily. You know that.
Yes. So I also want to talk about one of the other books that you had mentioned, Thor, God of Thunder, number 6.
Yes. One of my favorite books right now.
Now, I know you had said this is one of the Marvel Now books that you wish was on the weekly schedule, but it feels like 5 just came out.
Right. Well, that seems like because Saad Ribic did the 5, and this is the fill-in by Geiss. So he probably, you know, when you have that, you can go like, oh, there's the last issue, and he gets a head start on it, so you can put it out like 2 issues later, and we'll see when we get the next Saad Ribic book.
I think it's starting right with the next thing, and this is just more or less a buffer in between what the God Butcher Gore is doing. You know, we saw what he was doing before to introduce him. We kind of saw how he got there with this issue. And then they kind of end this issue with what his plan is going forward. So it was a really good issue. I liked the art as well. I really like Butch Geiss's art. And yes, it's different than Asad Ribic's art, but I think it fit the story.
I do, too. I think this is a bit, you know, like on the quality of the first 5 are amazing. And this is really, really, really good. I'm a bigger fan when Asad does it. But like you said, we get into Gore's history and see some stuff. And then there's some other questions, like, you know, asked, like the character who's in the book. He's like, you know, you don't even question something that's happened to you, and you should really look into that. And it makes me completely want to see where that goes. So not only given an origin of Gore, it gives us like a future hints at storylines, and I thought that was really cool.
And I think the thing that this issue did best was, and the first 5 issues that we saw of Gore the God Butcher, he was a horrible character. Like, his dialogue was like the scariest and creepiest stuff. And he just came across as this horrible person. But this issue, like, you don't like him after this issue, but you can definitely sympathize with him after this issue. And I think those are the best villains, that you can see their point. You don't agree with them, but you can definitely see their point.
Right. And you see some interesting, like, you do see a different side of Gore at times with this. And I think that's kind of cool. And like I said, anytime this book comes out, I push it at the shop. As a matter of fact, I've lent the first 5 issues to at least 3 different people, and they're all on board now. So that's going the extra mile.
Man, we're doing a lot of stumping, if you will, for Marvel. We got how many people on Thor? We got how many people on Hawkeye? We got how many people on Daredevil?
And we did a little for DC. We got a few people on All-Star Western. So
yeah,
we're going to have to shore that up a little bit.
Yes, we are. We're going to need to push that a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm glad to see people taking our recommendations. It actually makes me feel good about myself.
Me too.
So the next book I think we should talk about would be Star Wars number 3.
Yes. I am loving this book so much. It's I haven't really enjoyed a Star Wars book since, I'm trying to remember, like around the what were the Dark Empire books and shortly after that, and then I kind of waned off. But Star Wars by Brian Wood, and I just love the way he's treating the characters in this. I've talked about before with Princess Leia how, like, you know, she lost Alderaan, and in this we see more she's not handling it well. But my favorite part about this issue was we got to see more Han Solo. And I love his take on Han Solo, because it's the Han Solo shortly after the destruction of the first Death Star. And he's still that brash, like, you know, roguish character. And I totally get the feel of where Brian Wood fits in on the whole who shot first with Greedo.
Yes.
With the scene that he's doing with this. And it's just great. I just love the little, like, things where he's talking about the bottle of whiskey. While everything's going down, and I'm like, this is just so much fun. And then the other characters I'm totally interested in, and Vader too. I like to see what's going on with Vader being Palpatine's, you know, lapdog now, because he let the Death Star explode. This book is just so fun right now.
Right, you have your three different stories essentially going on, with the main overarching storyline of this takes place during, you know, the original Star Wars movies, but you've got the Luke and Leia stuff with, you know, who the traitor is in between them. You've got Vader with his own internal struggle trying to impress the Emperor, with the other guy trying to undercut him. And then, of course, you got Han and Chewie on their reconnaissance mission. We saw the tease last issue of Boba Fett. Not going to spoil anything there regarding Boba Fett in this issue or not, but yes, this one felt like if you read the first two issues and didn't, you know, weren't with it, kind of felt like he was, you know, figured out where everything fits in. This is the issue where everything fits in. Like, everybody got character bits in to advance the storyline that Brian Wood is trying to tell with these characters, and it didn't feel forced or betraying what you know of those characters already.
Right. This is the one that he juggled the amount of time the best, I think.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, the first issue was very Han light. We only got, like, a few panels, and like you said, but now he's hit his stride. I think he hit what is most important to get the story going, with, like, Leia and the traitor and what happened to Vader, and now we can go back and forth between them, like, you know, seamlessly, I think, from here on out.
Yes, so I'm still with this book. I'm very excited about this book coming out every month.
Yes, me too.
So the last book that we have to talk about here is Age of Ultron number 2,
mm-hmm.
by Brian Michael Bendis and Brian Hitch. And, you know, it's the alternate universe without it being the alternate universe. Ultron has taken over. We're starting to see some of the heroes kind of where they're lining up with things. Todd, I'm going to leave it to you to start things off with your thoughts on this.
I enjoyed this. I don't think it's, groundbreaking as the best, you know, event book or whatever you want to call it, because it's not really an event book. I don't know where to place it exactly. Alternate future or other Earth, like you said. But I'm having fun with it. I like the stuff with Moon Knight. I'm not a big Moon Knight fan, but I had fun with that. We got to see Black Widow and where everybody is. And people are saying that I guess it's the Octavius Spider-Man. The superior Spider-Man in his body, but he's acting a lot like Peter in this, and I'm starting to think that there's a ruse, there's something going on here, because he was holed up with the villains in the first issue. I think he might have had a plan or something like that, and he's lying to the heroes, and I want to see where this goes.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that as the angle that they're going to take on this.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so focused on this, you know, I apprehensively picked up this issue. I left it up to you, the listeners, to choose whether or not I should pick this up. And I'm not going to leave it up to anyone other than myself this time around. I just wasn't feeling this issue, and I think a lot of it was the Peter stuff. And, you know, maybe what you say is going to happen, and it's going to be revealed, that this was all a scheme, that Peter was working with the villains, which still doesn't even fit in with what Otto as Peter is doing in the current universe. And I just think that the characterization of Spider-Man in this is not current. if that makes any sense.
I got what you're saying. But like I said, I don't know where this takes place, if it's an alternate Earth or in the future, like we said. But I'm fine with it. I don't mind it. I want to see where it goes. I'm having fun with it. I think it looks really nice. I think it's the best stuff Hitch has done in a long time. So I'm going to ride it out unless it gets really bad.
Yeah, so I'll take your word for it as we get closer to the end of this, letting me know if things are picking up. But after this issue, I'm done.
Tapping out.
Yeah, I had to give this one up. It's pulled off the pull list, and the fact that it begins with an A makes it that much more difficult to move off.
I felt that this might be like one of those that you didn't like. As I was reading it, I only read Superior Spider-Man, so the whole Spider-Man thing doesn't really bother me about what they're doing. If it turns out to actually be Peter or whatever, I'm fine with it and just, you know, keep going.
Right. Well, you can tell me.
I will.
Spoiler-free if, you know, what the ruse is, which probably means you'll have to pick up the issue of Superior Spider-Man that ties into it.
I have no problem doing that.
All right. So I think that covers everything that we read from last week.
Yes, it does.
What are you looking forward to coming out this week?
As with the digital comics that we were talking about before, Brian K. Vaughan, Saga 11 comes out this week. And that's after the way it ended last time. I want to start reading this book as soon as I get it in my grubby little hands.
So the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is also Saga number 11. We are simpatico this week.
That's how we roll.
Yes, indeed. And I will say this, you know, I always put the links up for the previews that are available. I don't know if anyone clicks on the links. If you do, if you don't, great. You know, maybe it entices you to pick up the book. Maybe it doesn't. I will give you, the listener, the forthwit, I guess, warning. The preview pages for Saga are very racy.
Okay.
Both in image and in language.
Okay, good to know.
So if you are easily offended, do not click those.
And I know Saga just edged out for both of us Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 3. Because would you say that's 1A on the books you're looking forward to?
Yes, I would.
I know it is for me. Leonard gets a tutorial in The Third Doctor next week.
Is this a good doctor? Is this one that I should...
This is a good...
I don't know.
This is a good doctor. This is the adventurous doctor. This is the one who knows Venusian Aikido.
Oh, boy.
And his karate chop is better than Captain Kirk, Shatner's Captain Kirk and Roger Moore's James Bond together. If you put
them
together...
Is that like Krav Maga?
What?
Is that like Krav Maga?
Yeah, it's more deadly.
Oh, boy. The adventurous doctor.
Yes. You can't wait now.
I don't know. I'm going to wait for something.
Anyway. Your hatred of Doctor Who makes me sad.
It's not a hatred. It's not the book I'm most excited for.
It's the second book you're most excited for.
I think that's a lie, too.
But anyway.
So that covers those. We both are looking forward to Saga number 11. The sketches from this past week, and I have been slacking, but this was because I was asleep for most of Saturday.
I heard you were an Olympic-level napper this weekend.
Yes, I was. It's all, I've got so many excuses for not scanning things and remembering to tweet them like a fool.
Yes.
Our good friend DJ put up that picture that he got on an envelope from Guy Davis. Our friend DJ actually had a rough 2012.
Yes, he did.
But everything kind of worked itself out in the end there. He had lost a lot of his comics and original art. Guy Davis was nice enough to contact him when our DJ was tweeting about it. And Guy Davis said, hey, obviously they're one-of-a-kind pages. I can't get them back to you, but I can get you something close to what you had before. And I guess this was on some of the stuff that he had sent. And that's a really cool shot, and I feel bad that I don't remember what character that is from Hellboy that he drew.
Yes, I don't know Hellboy very well.
You know, when I played HeroClix, there was a time I knew what that character's name was, but that those days are long gone.
They're behind you. Now you just play with them in your room and make them.
And
do
I
little,
look at them.
Do little adventures.
I just look at them. Yeah.
Don't lie.
So, your sketch that you have from Bob Layton of Doctor Doom. What's all yours have such good stories. What's the story on this one?
This one was Bob Layton. Obviously, he was the anchor at the time on over John Romita Jr. on Iron Man, and they did the Doom Quest storyline, which was issue 149 and 150 of Iron Man, and those are two of my favorite issues of all time. So I knew he was going to be at the show, and I was wandering over, and as I got closer, I saw this big, like, you know, he drew it and inked it of Dr. Doom, and I'm like, well, that's as close as I'm going to get to, you know, Romita Jr. and Layton, so I'll go with that. So I walk up to him, I'm like, you know, he's doing stuff, and I'm like, Mr. Layton, I just want to tell you that, you know, Doom Quest 149, 150 is one of the best comics that I've ever read, one of my favorite of all time. And he just looks at me. And I'm like, because he was doing stuff. I'm like, didn't you hear me? So I said, you know, issue 149, 150, Doom Quest, one of my favorite issues of all time. He's like, oh, no, I heard you. I just never get tired of hearing that. And I'm like, I'll take that, please. You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
He's just a fun guy. We talked for a little bit about Iron Man and their ideas about, like, the armor and how he, you know, he always felt like I think he even said, like, you know, remember when they did the red and silver armor that they tried to make him look like a samurai?
Yeah.
He was against that because he was trying to – he felt that Iron Man's armor should get, you know, more like smaller and tighter instead of bigger. But they went with that anyway. And it was just a lot of fun stories about, like, his time on Iron Man. And that's kind of, like, what's really cool when you get to pick up a piece actually from, you know, the creator. And that's what I love doing at shows.
So. Awesome. And like I said, I always love hearing your stories because you've always got something interesting. Hopefully we'll have some interesting stories of us harassing some poor creators when we go to the con in a couple weeks.
I plan on it. There's a few I want to throw sweaty fistfuls of 20s at.
You know, and I meant to ask you, I think you might have mentioned it here. Are you planning on attending any other cons this year? Is New York a definite? Or?
Oh, I'm so on the edge right now. I want to do Baltimore.
Right.
Because I had so much fun with you and the lovely wife when we went. And Baltimore is like a fun place to go. But New York is like it. So I don't know if I'm going to end up doing Baltimore for the weekend and then maybe do New York for a day. But I have a feeling that I'll just cut my own throat and throw a lot of money away and do Baltimore and New York for a bunch of days.
My goodness.
So.
Well, I know I'm, you know, this is just because it's so close and, you know, the Baltazar and Franco are going to be there. That's the main reason I'm going among some of the other creators that are going to be there. But I think we got about another year before we start taking the man on the road to some cons.
Mm-hmm. And then I might do Philly for a day. So I don't know.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I will be doing Philly for at least a day. But that's, you know, as business because we with Chikara have our iPay-per-view again the same weekend as Philly, right down the block on Sunday.
And that would be the day that if I was going to go, I'd do a Sunday. And last year, I was going to go for the Sunday and see the show and everything. And then, like we said, I was going down with DJ at one point, and that fell through, and some things happened with me. But I do want to, because Philly seems like a nice show to do for a day, and then see my first, you know, Chikara wrestling show.
Yes. Oh, and it'll be a good one. Pay-per-view. It's you know, the big crazy thing. The Trocadero is an awesome place to see a wrestling show.
Yep, I love the Trocadero. I've seen a few concerts there. So yeah, maybe I'll truck on down and see you. Maybe, you know, we could pretend to be friends at the show.
I will be honest with you. I am always very busy the days of the show, and I am not the I'm not a very personable person. Before the show, just because things are so busy, and then once the show begins, I do commentary for most of the show. I'd say probably like 90% of the iPay-per-view. After the show, I'm all yours, though, honey.
Okay, good. Buy a few drinks, see how it goes.
Yes, indeed. So, I'm just trying to think what else. I think that's all we have from Sketch Party, talking about cons. Of course, Twitter. Yes, you can follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Long Box to get all the latest and greatest news going on in the world of comics and related things. But if you want that more personal touch, you can always follow Todd at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. I myself am L.F. Chikarason. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N on Twitter. Todd is getting more and more Twitter followers. Let's get that even higher.
Yes.
As we look. Yes. Todd needs more and more followers, please.
Yes.
And our Twitter question from last week was, how was your experience with the Marvel 700 number ones attempt that they had a couple weeks ago? A lot of digital comics talk on this week's episode.
It's almost like digital comics are becoming relevant.
Yes. It's almost taken it's taken 70 episodes to get there.
Yeah, but we're here now.
Yes, and we got a nice mix of people about their experiences. You know, listener Michael Hanskar said he didn't care. I think I know personally he's more of a DC guy than anything else. Some other folks weren't affected, but the overall response to everyone that they had was free stuff is great, and they contacted the list. Some people got as low as 25 books during the course of it. Many got as high as 150 of the books. Obviously, there were tons and tons of issues. I was just interested to see if our listeners were intrigued by this, took advantage of it. I'm glad those who did, and I hope those of you who got on the email list are emailed sooner than later and can pick up all the free comic books you want.
Yeah, I want to see how that turns out. If they, you know, they do the emails and see if they, how it works out. If they crash it again or they have a plan this time.
Yes. Now, did you attempt to do any of this?
No, I didn't attempt to do any of it at all.
Now, see, while this was happening, I was on vacation, so I had limited internet access to begin with, and mostly I was attempting to do it from my phone, which was just a dead end. It wasn't even allowing me to log in.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, however, had her Comixology account logged in as well, and her Comixology account is my Comixology account, because sometimes that's where she'll try to pick some stuff up to read there, and since she was logged in, I was able to add a bunch of stuff there. But it was making me download it, where usually it'll just add it, and then I can download it later. But at the time I was trying to do it, it was making me download it. I think I ended up getting about 10 books.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that the Comixology app is set up on the iPhone, where they had them all broken up into different categories, right? And some of the categories were fine, where, you know, it would show you the first 25 books. So you were good to go from there. But then once it got into the Marvel Heroes section, which is the bulk of where everything was, and then the X-Men section, where it was like 150 books, or the Marvel Heroes section, which was like 350 books, it was only showing you the first 25 of those 300 whatever. When you would try to click on it to open up to see all the books that were in that category, it just would crash the whole thing.
Mm. I'm wondering if that's just from all the people, or if that's the way. Was it? Have you tried it on your phone before, or...?
Well, I never tried it on my phone, but we've done it before on my wife's phone and never had a problem in the past.
Ah, okay. Me, like I said, I didn't get to do anything because I was too busy helming the show last week. So I was so busy.
Yes.
Didn't have a chance.
But. So, again, as always, keep it here for the latest information. Hopefully when Marvel and Comixology decide to set this back up and crash the internet again.
Did you sign up for the email?
I certainly did.
Okay.
Oh, and I also wanted, as I mentioned, the Comixology and Marvel crashing the internet. I was listening to one of my podcasts that I do. I'm still getting caught up on all the podcasts from being away for a week. There are some that get bumped to the front. One of my favorite comic book podcasts, War Rocket Ajax, they had Matt Fraction on this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he had joked with the host of the show saying, "Hey, listen, don't cross me. I work for the biggest internet hacker company in the world. They were able to crash entire sites a couple of weekends ago."
It's funny.
Yeah. So just the way that he kind of referred, he didn't mention Marvel by name. He just said, "I work for one of the biggest internet hacker groups in the world."
He's like that movie Sneakers, I think. Was
yes.
that the one?
I think you're thinking of Johnny Mnemonic, another Keanu Reeves opus.
Oh, they're all good.
Now, see, that one gets a pass because Dolph Lundgren was in it as well.
Did you hear rumors they're trying to get him for a cameo in Masters of the Universe? I was worried. I was worried that they wouldn't have him. But yeah, they're working on bringing him in for a walk-on in the new reboot. Now, if they only put him in any of the new, another Punisher movie.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
I was sleepless over it, so.
So, that takes care of the bulk of the show. Todd, what is our Twitter question for next week?
Today is Wednesday, and tonight is the big Powerball drawing that I have a ticket for. It's up to like 200 and some million, I think.
260, yes.
60, and I'm going to win. So, but if you won, what would be the big nerd purchase that you would get? Would it be like some big comic? Would you like have a life-size Galactus in your backyard? What would you do with a giant windfall of money?
Where money was not an option, what is the comic purchase that you would make?
Right. Anything, that you would do with it. If you wanted to put you wanted to hire Neil Adams and put a big Batman mural on the side of your house. That anything. Just let your imagination go wild.
Oh, okay. I follow you. Oh, I know exactly what I would do. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Just create. If you wanted to say it would be an Action Comics number one, that's fine. But whatever you want, you could do whatever you want with the money.
But it has to be comic related.
Right, right. Nerd related, comic related.
Oh, I like that. So tweet to us what you would do with an unlimited budget and comic related. Just throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ in there and tweet to us at Weekly Long Box or to Todd and myself individually. And we'll compile them all and read them off. I know our listeners are very creative, and I'm going to see a lot of things that are going to crack me up.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that Mayan might get mentioned by at least two people.
Wow. Am I one of them?
No.
Okay.
Because yours, again, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but Todd's is just going to have, it's either going to be the Toddy Bears, as was discussed last week.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be his own army of Todd bots.
What about a Castle Von Todd? Build one of those.
You're going to make them rename Scranton Todd Varia?
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, goodness. And so this is the part of the show where we're going to bid those of you adieu who do not want to be spoiled by the AMC's Walking Dead from this past week. We do thank everyone for listening. We will catch you all here next week, and we will give everyone else just a few moments to get caught up and get situated for some Walking Dead talk.
I was going to make some zombie noises here for effect, but.
So this was a very interesting episode of The Walking Dead.
Yes, it was. I really enjoyed it. It was one of those, more character than zombie driven episodes like we believe, The Walking Dead is always about. Did you enjoy it?
Yes. This was definitely an Andrea tour de force.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. And, it was essentially everything that's going on, and I forget the gentleman's name, the little toady guy with the governor.
The scientist guy, I call him.
The scientist guy, yes.
He's interesting right now. He's not very good at lying either, I'm going to say that. The last couple episodes, he's getting slightly better, but he's not very good at lying.
If there was the definition of anyone who cracks under pressure, it's him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. So this week's episode entitled Prey.
Was that...
There was very little with our main cast, the Rick side of thing at the prison. There was a lot of stuff with Tyrese and Sasha and their group. There was tons and tons of stuff, as mentioned before, with Andre and the governor.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was the bulk of the show. And... The governor is a jerk.
The governor's losing it.
Like, yes.
Whatever. And if he was
go ahead.
If he was a nice guy in the beginning at all, which we don't believe he was, he's gone now. When they had that opening scene where he's got the chains on the sticks and he's got the two collars and he's just wrapping them up and he's kneeling, I'm like, there's nobody in there. He's gone right now. But
And then even, you know, even at the end, and we kind of get to it where they have the pits with the zombies in them, and, you know, Tyrese and his group, they're going to go and they're going to load things up and bring them. And then we find out that someone goes and burns up all the zombies. And I think they're attempting to make us believe, us, the viewer, that it was Milton who did it, the scientist toady guy,
mm-hmm.
whereas the governor probably thinks it was someone from Tyrese's group. I think it was somebody else entirely.
Do you really? Do you know who, or do you just think it was somebody else?
I think it was someone else. I don't know. I don't read spoilers. I don't, I'm just going.
That's not me. I thought maybe you had an idea of a character that you were just like, I don't have any news, but it was, I think it was this person. Because I actually think it was Tyrese's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think, because they make us believe that it was Milton from, you know, when the governor talks to him. And then maybe Tyrese, because he hates it so much. But when he asks him, he's like, where'd you get the gas? And he's like, come again? I don't know what you're talking about. The governor, you know, maybe thinks he is it, or maybe Milton. But I think, like, you know, from watching Walking Dead and reading Walking Dead, it's all, you know, misdirection. So I think maybe it was like her. She got out and did it. And, you know, nobody knows that it's her.
And I will say this, even at that part where the governor was doing his questioning of Tyrese and Sasha and so forth, he didn't have his same slick, smooth talking way there. Like, he just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the charismatic person we saw at the beginning of this season.
Right, and I think that's both because he's losing it a lot, and at this point, he doesn't want anything to do with the four of these people. Like, there's no need to schmooze them, because I think he has terrible plans for them regardless.
Well, I don't think that he has terrible plans for them. I think he was very, very focused on his terrible plans that he had for Andrea.
Yes. And Michonne, when and if he ever gets a hold of her. Because that whole, like,
well,
torture chamber.
And that's the thing. You know, we spoke on the show of, you know, those of you who read the comic book, how crazy what happens with the governor and Michonne in the comic book. And I speculated here on the show that I think we were going to see some of that, but it was going to happen to Andrea instead of Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to happen to Andrea next week.
You think so?
Oh boy, do I ever.
And
I am afraid.
I am too. And I have to say, the whole scene between Andrea and the governor in that, I want to call it the warehouse, because I'm not sure what building is. I, as you know, you're more of the horror guy than I am. I was creeped out by that whole thing. and I don't mean like creeped out as in, like, you know, the zombie, he smashes the zombie's face with a shovel. It was just cool, like, them going through the like, you know, some hiding, and he's doing that horrible whistle thing, which was annoying, not in a bad way, but annoying, like, and scary. And he's just walking around, and I was like, this is suspense more than horror, and I'm loving, like, every second of it.
And I'll say two things about that. The episode title this week was almost The Zombie Whistler.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going with another title of the episode. But yeah, when he did that whistle, man, oh man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like so creepy, and it just added to the suspense of everything that was going on. And I think part of it was suspenseful for me, but not as suspenseful, because I knew he was going to get Andrea eventually. And when he does, it was like the hope was right there.
And it
was just snatched away from her, and it was snatched away from all of us. And it was just such a crazy scene.
And I like that they had, you know, Rick on point for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're kind of like, did I see something, or was it my wife? You know?
Yes.
Like, because he can't trust what he sees with all that. And I thought it was very interesting. And like I said, I didn't know what was going to happen, but when he grabs her, I was like, so close.
Yep.
You were so close. And it's,
yeah, I this is the thing. This is the other thing. All of this, it's all Andrea's fault.
Because she didn't stab him back when she had the chance?
She didn't stab him back when she had the chance. She didn't shoot him. She should have just shot him. She shouldn't have hesitated at the beginning of this episode. And yes, Milton stopped her, of course, but she could have just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking the time, not whatever. The governor was in La La Land. He wasn't seeing, he wasn't hearing, he wasn't doing nothing. She should have just did it and then shot Milton too.
Wow. You're a shooting everybody kind of guy.
Yeah, listen, it's Walking Dead, man. It's everyone for themselves.
Yep.
And all of this, it's all Andrea's fault.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was where the whistle started first. Because didn't he like record it and play it back to make sure the recorder was working?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool that that played out through the thing. One of the other things I want to talk about was the whole Michonne Andrea scene where they're like, it's a flashback.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting because it seems to make Andrea's origin different than it is in the comic. Because we had the, you know, she mentions that she's like, oh, did you find them? Did you trap them as you go? You know, were they somebody you knew? And she's like, there was somebody I knew. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about it? He's like, doesn't matter. They were monsters before too. And I'm like, because we saw the Michonne origin in the Playboy magazine, and then it was reprinted in the comic format, and that's not what it was. So I'm wondering if Playboy still has a channel that they're going to do the other Michonne origin, which would be awesome. That way they could have both of them. But I just thought it was cool to see, like, now I want to know more about Michonne because in my mind it's different than everything I know about the comic.
Now, see, for me with that scene, I was kind of taken aback, you know, obviously being the horror movie person. The special effect on the two zombie people that she had with her just looked so bad.
Really?
It just looked so fake and phony and green screened. It like just jumped right out at me, and I was just like, "Oh, that looks like garbage."
You know what? That there, not that one, but there was a scene later where Michonne Andrea is hiding in the woods because she hears the truck coming, mm-hmm. and when the zombie reaches through the tree and grabs her, there was the first one that she stabbed, and then there was one on the ground. She stabs it in the head. I was like. Right. That's the fakest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like,
oh yeah, I remember that head was like, and they have such like, the pit of the burned zombies looked really cool, right?
Right.
That one in particular was like, were they just like short on heads, and they're like, oh, we got to film this scene quick on a pickup, and they just used a junky looking one.
Maybe that's all they had laying around or something. I don't know, but it looked like she wasn't even holding a knife in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to do the whole, like, you know, sinking it. I don't know. I was just looking at it going, like, there was a couple of times where I was like, the effects didn't look good. But then the zombie attack on the governor when she opens up the stairway door and they just come pouring out, I thought was really cool. So
right. So I really thought this was a really good episode.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm dreading what's going to happen to Andrea next week.
Mm-hmm. And does it make you want to buy the soundtrack now with the song at
no.
the end of this episode?
Again, the song. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to push the soundtrack, and I understand that. Everybody go buy the soundtrack so they could stop putting the song at the end of every episode.
I don't know. I liked it. I actually thought that was a cool shot of them going through the building and then seeing a horrified Andrea. But that was one of the things that I was thinking too. You know how like you think of me when you see horrible, horrible, you know, zombie gore?
Yes.
Now whenever I hear songs, I'm like, how is my dear Leonard going to handle this song at the end of the episode?
No, I handle it just fine. It's just, oh, goodness. It just drives me nuts. That's all. It's like, it just seems so crammed in because the first two seasons didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. And now it's the last couple episodes all of a sudden.
Right.
Well, you got it. Marketing, man. That's how they make their money.
I guess. But you know what? Marketing is because it's an awesome, you know, it's an awesome show and it's getting tons of ratings and tons of ad revenue. Let's not, I don't know.
Relax.
I'm not buying the soundtrack.
You know what? I'll buy it and then I'll burn you a copy
mm-hmm.
so you can have a complete collection.
Oh, boy.
Maybe birthday or Christmas. That's what I'll do. Buy you
yes.
a copy. Buy you a nice copy of it.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I think that's enough Walking Dead and everything else talk, unless there was something else you wanted to cover here, sir.
No, I'm good. Just, well, maybe that, you know, as Walking Dead goes out, Doctor Who comes in. So if you want to get on that train, it's almost time.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to say anything.
I know. I just like mentioning Doctor Who to you.
No, there's only two more episodes left in this season, and then we're going to be back to regular-sized episodes here shortly.
You know what? That one quick thing about The Walking Dead before we leave. Do you think this whole storyline is going to be wrapped up by the end of the season? I'm starting to believe it's not.
I'm trying to think. Wrapped up.
And I mean the prison, more along the prison storyline.
Okay. And I'm basing this on nothing.
Right. I know nothing.
You know,
either.
It's not like I read something or some nonsense like this. There is going to be at least two major deaths in the next two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them possibly being the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I see either Woodbury being in shambles and or abandoned, or the prison no longer being the refuge for Rick and his people. Like, one of those, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of this episode, it's not like, well, we're still in the prison and we're still in Woodbury. Like, one of those two places are not going to be the way they are currently.
Because I'm looking at it, everything that's gone on, we still have one episode left where he's got to mess with, you know, Andrea. Like you said, it's going to be terrible. But then I'm like, does that mean it's just going to be an all-out, like, assault in the last episode? Which could happen. I just think we're going to get a cliffhanger, and I think we're the prison storyline. Woodbury and the prison are still going to be there at the end of this season.
I'm not making any bets. I'm not putting any money on it. But like I said, I definitely think that either Woodbury is going to be destroyed. Like, the governor is going to be like, you know, I'm going to destroy it. It's going to go down by my own hand, sort of thing.
We'll see. And don't make any bets, because your Walking Dead bets always, you're 0 for 1 on your Walking Dead bets.
And I'm paying for it every month.
Yeah. All right. That was the last thing that I wanted to talk about.
So the very last thing I'm going to mention, and this is for anyone who is watching Young Justice or had been watching Young Justice, I am very sad to see it go. It definitely had the same feel as Justice League Unlimited, and there was a whole big invasion storyline. I loved all the characterizations. There was like a triple secret swerve in there, and at the very end, one of the last things that they have to destroy, the Flashes have to stop it. It's Bart Allen Impulse, it's Barry Allen, and then Wally is still Kid Flash in this little universe of things.
Mm-hmm.
And because Wally is not as fast as the other two, the external energy that's coming off this machine that they're trying to stop essentially kills Wally. Yes, and that's the big end of everything, is that Wally is the one who sacrifices himself to save the Earth.
Mm. He's dead again.
Yes, he's dead again. Like, as soon as there was a, because they have him paired up with Artemis, like, they're together in the show,
mm-hmm.
and they had a nice little moment earlier in the episode where they're, like, trying to take down the other machines, and the two of them are in Paris, and he's like, oh, baby, we're gonna have to come back here again, and I'm like, oh, they're killing off Wally at the end of this, damn it, I'm thinking to myself, and then when they did, me and my wife are sitting on the couch watching, and she got choked up, because they did a very good job of, you know, kind of putting those two characters back together after their undercover missions, and they had their moment in Paris, and they're like, hey, when this is all settled, we're going to come back here. And then I'm like, nope, he's done.
Ugh. Can't win with Wally, can you?
No, unfortunately not.
Maybe next New 52 or next new cartoon.
Yes.
We'll get some Wally.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, it's really good. Check out Young Justice. I know in the near future, Cartoon Network is going to be putting a ton of their stuff up on Netflix streaming, and that's definitely one you should check out if you do see it available on streaming, or I think they have them released in a bunch of DVD sets as well.
Mm-hmm. I never watched any of them, but I always heard good things about Young Justice, yes. So.
It's really good. Really, really good.
But anyway.
So, again, unless there's anything else you want to wrap things up here with, Todd?
No, I don't.
All right, so again, closing out episode 70 of the Weekly Long Box. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all here next week.